Well, this month we've been talking from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23. Verse 22. So we're going to stand and read Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. I preached on the first couple of, Rick and I have been preaching on it all month. I'm really going to cover the end of verse 22. So let's read those verses. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And this is the part we're going to focus on today. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. You can be seated. So keeping our eyes and our hearts on the Word of God brings life. Notice it says to those who find them. So that's an important thing to notice because it's there for a reason. I want us to look in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, because there is a place where we need to look for truth. We need to search for truth. We need to apply our hearts. How many of you as parents have told your children, if you would just apply yourself, you know, you could accomplish these things. We need to apply ourselves to spiritual things. We need to take time out. Some people give more attention to Facebook or video games or work or whatever it is. And all of those things, you know, can take our time and attention. But we need to apply ourselves to the Word of God, to really hear what it's saying, to put it in our heart and allow it to change our thinking and to change our lives. And Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. When you really begin to study the Word of God and understand how precious it is, you don't just go, oh, it's just a bunch of things that I'm supposed to do that I'm not supposed to do. You begin to treasure those commands because you realize they are the best instructions that I'm going to get from anywhere. And they are who changed. They are what changed me and changed my life. It says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. That's a great name, hidden treasures, amen. But if you search for her, if you got a treasure map and you knew like this was not a joke, like this was not from a board game, like this was a legit treasure map that had treasure, how many of us would spend some real time and energy to go to that map to follow the instructions exactly to find the eggs and find that treasure and would be very excited when we did find it? This is how we need to approach the Word of God. We need to look at it and search the scriptures for treasure because it is full of treasure. The great thing is we're not on a solo trip. We've been talking about this lately. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. So it's not just I'm going to dig in the Word and with my logic and with my wisdom and with my intellectual understanding, I'm going to understand this thing. I am in partnership with Almighty God who has come to live within me, who explains things to me so that I understand. But I'm going to be the first to tell you that that's why you have to apply your heart. Sometimes I read something and I go, I don't get it. I don't see the connection. I don't understand what this is saying. I don't know how to apply this to my life. But as I apply myself, as I search the scriptures, as I read more scripture, as I think about it and say, Holy Spirit, would you teach me? It's like the light begins to come on in areas and God begins to connect the dots and we gain understanding in those truths. But we have to apply ourselves. It continues. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So Matthew 13:45-46 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. So this person in Matthew 13:45, they are seeking beautiful pearls. They are putting effort. If you lose something, I don't know about you guys, but the remote it like falls into a hole in our house. I mean, and it's, you know, and then that's when you, I don't know, we should have found something that can help us find it. But I don't know how many hours we have spent either searching for a remote or searching for a sippy cup. How many parents have spent so many hours and then you find it and it is wine, like under a bed somewhere, you know? But I'm like, how many hours of my life have I wasted looking for a sippy cup, you know? But this is not wasted. This man was searching for beautiful pearls. And then verse 46 says, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. That when we are searching and we find how worthy the kingdom of heaven and the relationship with God and what his word says, that we will sell everything else because it is worth it. And we say, God, you are worth my time. You are worth my energy. You are worth the change that has to take place in my thinking and in my life. He is worth it. It is worth it to seek for him, because this says in Proverbs 4:20, they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. I want to read you one more verse, John 16:13, before we move on from that point. It says, however, when he, this is talking about the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. So as we walk with him and as we walk and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, because when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and he will explain things to us. He will teach us. And I'm going to tell you, I have not yet ever heard the audible voice of God. I would love to, but I've never heard God say, Shannon. You know, I mean, it always happens from within me. Like it's a thought that comes. And then I go, God, is that you? Still today, I say, God, is that you? Is that me? Is this what you're saying to me? But the more of the word that I read, the more that the Holy Spirit, it's just like the more that I get to know someone. If you told me something about my husband or one of my children or somebody in my family that I'm very close to, and you told me something about them, I know them well enough to know, no, they wouldn't do that. I know that they wouldn't do that. And that's what happens as we get to know the Lord. And as we read his word, then when a thought comes and it's not God, we start to recognize that we go, oh, no, that doesn't sound like the God that I know. That doesn't sound like the God that I serve. And so it's this relationship with the word and with the person of the Holy Spirit and with God teaching us. And so health, as we walk with him and we seek out truth, he will teach us. Then focusing our mind and our heart on his truth leads us to health, is what the Bible says. Because the rest of that verse says, Proverbs 4:22 says, and health to all their flesh. Now, health is something we all want. A little bit of pain or physical hardship or disease goes a long way. And most of us don't want to deal. I mean, it gets your attention real quick. And so what we do when we find ourselves in a health crisis is very important. And we're going to look at a story. I really felt like the Lord, of course, led me to this story. So 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to read a lot of verses because we're just going to read the whole story and then we'll go back and talk about it. So 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, it starts in verse 8. It says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. This also is translated a great woman, probably had money, also notable, like in her community. So it says, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. So she said to her husband, look now, I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put this. They built him a room. Like this was a big deal. So they built him a room. She said, let us put a bed for him in there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. I don't know about you, but my house is pretty full right now. So if anybody comes to our house, we have to move one of our children out, you know, to move somebody else in. But they built a specific room on the wall for this prophet. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned in the upper room and lay down there. Verse 12. And Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. She said, I'm happy where I am. I'm happy staying right where I am, basically. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said, call her. So this woman didn't request this. Gehazi said to her, to Elisha, that she had no son. So he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. So she's like, don't lie to me. I mean, she had probably, her husband was old. She had no child. We know back in those days, this was something that she probably had greatly desired and a dream that she had probably given up on. Like she thought, this is not going to happen. So she's like, don't lie to me. But the woman conceived, it says, verse 17, and grew, and the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, and the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees like until noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, pay attention to this. It is well. Then he saddled a donkey and said to her, she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. So she's like, let's go and don't slow down just because of me. Let's go. Let's move. And she departed and went to the man of God at Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay the staff on the face of the child. So Elisha is talking to his servant. He's like, don't talk to anybody. Just go right now. Go. But she was not satisfied with that. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. She's like, I am not leaving until you come with me. And she had made her point known. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on. So he arose and followed her. Sorry. Verse 21. 31, sorry. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child laying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. That's an interesting way to respond. And stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her. And when she came to him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. And that's when the story ends. It's very interesting to me, her response. And that's what the main thing that I want us to talk about. Because her response in verse 23 and in verse 36, if you put up that PowerPoint, she said, it is well. Now, this was a crisis. The son that miraculously she had birthed had died. But in this moment, she didn't get bitter and say to God, obviously, God was just messing with me. He didn't really want me to have a child. He was just being mean to me, gave me this child, and now he's going to take him away from me. She didn't do that. She didn't go off on a tangent, and say all of these negative things. What she said was, it is well. Now, this is important because I don't believe that she said, being fake, it is well. And on the inside, like she wanted, you know, she said it is well. I believe this was a resolute, it is well. And she had no interest. She didn't talk to her husband. She didn't talk to the servant. But I believe the reason for that is she took it directly to the person who could do something about it. She said, I'm not talking to anybody about this problem except for the one who can change it, who can do something about it. And she had seen the power of the man of God. She knew that he had a connection with God Almighty. And she said, I am going to him. Now, she did not accept. It is amazing to me. She didn't accept the fact that her son had died. He was not sick. He died. I mean, he was completely dead. And yet she didn't say, well, you know, she didn't give up at that point. She said, it is well. And then she went to the one, like I said, that could do something about it. She was very wise about her responses. And that's what I feel like we need to take away from today. Because many times when circumstances come at us, when a crisis comes, we respond with just kind of, we just say all of this stuff. And before we know it, our mouth is just like a roller coaster, just saying all of these negative things. And that is dangerous. We need to learn, because death and life. Actually, I want to show you why this is such a big deal. First, Proverbs 10:19. I've been reading a proverb a day, and I'm just telling you, if you have never done that, you should do it. Like, you can read the day that on you're on. Like, if you forget where you're at, you can go, today is the 21st. I'm going to read Proverbs 21. There's so much wisdom in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. When we are in a crisis, when something is happening that is negative, the worst thing that we can do is just blah, 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 blah. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't go to people and ask for prayer, that we don't say, this woman went to the man of God and she asked, she told him what the problem was. I'm not saying that we can't go and ask for prayer. I'm not saying that we can't go and talk to somebody and say, listen, this is what I'm going through, because the Bible says that we should call for the elders and ask them to pray. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying here is, we all know when we have said way too much and we have said a bunch of things that we just put out in the air that wasn't even necessary for us to say. And the Lord can show you what that, when that is. So we need to restrain our lips. We need to be careful, because our words are powerful. And what we say affects our life. Proverbs 18:20-21. Says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. This is not just God being super dramatic to make a point. This is reality. Death and life is in the power of our tongue. What we say is very important. And so notice what it says, though. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it, I know that sound. Those who love it, love what? Those who love their mouth. Those who love their words and love to talk. Man, we need to be careful, all of us. It doesn't matter who we are, we need to be careful, because we need to realize that we will eat the fruit that our words are producing. So what is your mouth producing? Let's look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33-37. And this was Jesus talking about fruit and our mouth. There are a lot of connections in the Bible between fruit and our mouth and our words and our actions, because all of those things are connected. What's in our heart is going to come out of our mouth, and what comes out of our mouth is going to define our life, and it's going to affect our lives. Either make the tree good, verse 33 says, and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, Jesus is talking to the people here. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So if even just those two verses, that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and that we will be justified by our words and condemned by our words, those are big statements that carry a lot of weight, and we need to take it very seriously, what it says. Our words come out of our hearts, and then our lives are filled with the effects of our words. Have you ever heard the term, I had to eat my words? Like you just put it in your mouth. Have you ever had the time where you wish, like, you're like, it's out there, I wish that I could just suck it back in, you know, but you can't. But sometimes what I have had to do is, like, I have to eat those words, and then I have to pull it out and take those words back to the person that I said it. And then it's embarrassing, but I have to take it back and say, I am sorry that I said those words. I shouldn't have said those words. I shouldn't have responded that way. It's better not to have to eat your words. But if you have to, then, you know, do it the right way. There is a lot of humility that comes out of repentance when it comes to what we say. And if we have said the wrong thing, then we need to repent. We need to, the concept, I had to eat my words, means to retract what one has said, usually in a humiliated way. That's what the internet says. But humility is good for all of us. The truth is, most of us need humility in some area of our lives. And one surefire way to learn how to stop talking so much is to eat some of your words and to have to humble yourself and go back to the person. You'll learn to think twice after you do that a few times, you know, and you'll learn to be more careful. The Holy Spirit will help us. But this goes a step further, because the fruit we eat, can I have a volunteer? The fruit we eat is a harvest. Anyone? Okay, Josiah. I have to use Josiah because he's leaving soon. So I have to use him. He's going back to college. Okay, so just imagine this is the fruit. A picture is worth 1,000 words, right? This is the fruit of our words. So just take a bite of that apple. Not by the words, just, you know. So, because I couldn't eat and talk. So, okay. So imagine that he is now eating the fruit of his words. It's important that we understand, because eating our words is one thing. But in reality, the Bible says we go a step further than just eating our words, because the fruit that we eat is a harvest of the seeds that we've planted with our words. So our words are producing a harvest of fruit, and then we will have to eat that harvest. So, like, this is a pretty good looking apple. It doesn't look nasty. You know, it doesn't have any worms growing in it. Thankfully, I wouldn't make you eat an apple with worms. But imagine if this fruit had grown on a tree that it had pests in it, and there were worms growing out of it, and it was half rotten, and then Josiah had to eat that apple. That's sometimes what we're doing. That's sometimes what we're doing. Thank you, Josiah. Sometimes that's what we have to do, is we are sometimes eating fruit that has worms in it, that is nasty, because of the things that we have put out there. So that's why we need to be careful what kind of words we say, so that the fruit that our words is producing is good fruit. So how do we do that? We go right back to the beginning where we started. We apply our heart to the Word of God. We keep it in the midst of our heart. We choose to stand on what the Word of God says, and we learn to say it is well sometimes, even when the circumstances might look different. Listen, there are moments. I remember one day, and I know that y'all have heard me talk about when Eden was in the hospital, but It was such a big time in my life. And I look at so many parents that spent so much more time in the NICU. But for us, that was a really big deal. We've never had a baby and had to be transported to the neonatal intensive care unit. And when she was there was one day after actually the night that had probably been the worst night that I was there, she had lost weight and she was cold. Her temperature was down. They had to wrap her up. And, there was just all of this stuff going on. But I had gotten so many words from people. And I know Diane at that point had sent me a message saying, I just feel like the Lord is saying it is finished. And the turnaround started that morning. And I went into the hospital and I said to the nurse, she's about to thrive right now. And it wasn't because of where she was. It was because this word that had been implanted in my heart was rising up within me to say, it is well. It doesn't matter that she doesn't look well. It doesn't matter that they still are doing tests on her. It doesn't matter what they're telling me, is going on with her. It is well with her because I knew it from inside my heart. And as we apply our word, apply our heart to understanding what God says about whatever situation it is, if we will apply our heart to that understanding, we will be able to say it is well. Not because we're being fake and we're lying and we're pretending like there's no problems, because I'm not talking about, putting on a mask and pretending like you don't have any problems when you do have problems, because the truth is the Bible also says, bear you one another's burdens. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. I can't bear your burdens if you are always acting like you don't have any. The truth is, there are times when we need to help each other. We need to be honest about where we are and what's going on, and we need to help each other bear those burdens. But there is also a time that we need to look inside the Word of God. We need to see God's Word of truth, and we need to say it is well. Even when there's a crisis going on. And as we will walk with the Lord, He will show us what to do when. That's the awesome thing about walking with God. There are times that I have felt, lay it out to somebody. Tell them what's going on. There was a time that I felt like the Lord, and I was trying to be very strong and not call and ask for help. And the Lord told me, you need to seek out some friends and you need to ask for some prayer. And so I did. There are other times that I feel like I don't need to speak anything negative. I need to say it is well. And I need to speak God's word. And so if we will walk with the Holy Spirit, He will show us what to do when. That's the awesome thing. This word is full of instructions, because the reality is we need different instructions at different times. And the Holy Spirit will show us how to respond in each particular situation as we walk with Him. That's why it's so important to put His word in our heart. So it is best, our best bet is to fill our heart with God's words, because the effects of His word in our heart is life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. I want to remind you, when you face a crisis situation, the first thing you need to do is go to the one who has all the power. And if you need help getting somebody else to help you go there, then ask for help. Say, listen, my faith is weak. I need help. Will you pray with me? Will you go to the Father with me? And we can get an agreement and we can pray. But I'm telling you, when you do that, you need to be looking at who God is. Because a lot of times people come and maybe they ask for prayer. If you come and ask for prayer, you need to believe that God is hearing, that He's actually going to do something about what we're praying about, because otherwise it just becomes an opportunity to talk about our problems. And the truth is, we like talking about our problems sometimes. It's a release, but if there is no faith attached to it, it is just that. It is just talking about the problem. It's not going to bring about any change. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, he that comes to God must believe that He is. That He is what? That He is God Almighty, who hears my prayers, who can change the situation, who can do the miraculous, who cares about what I'm going through, who knows me intimately. That's who He is. And I believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That He will reward me as I seek Him in prayer. And I said this, I think, Wednesday night or last Sunday. I have to do this myself. When I go to pray, I sometimes have to stop myself and check myself. Wait a minute. I am praying to God Almighty. Like God Almighty, who said, if I lack wisdom, I can ask Him and He would give it to me. And You know, an illustration that God showed me about prayer recently, and I didn't know I was going to share this, so I don't have a visual because I love visuals. Jude loves balloons. And so we don't buy the helium balloons a lot of times because you can buy like a little pack of balloons with like 20 in them for $1. And he's very happy with those. But anybody who's seen a kid with a balloon that doesn't have helium in it, you blow it up and you have to keep batting that thing. You have to keep hitting it, you know, to get it up to the ceiling. And it's a fun game. It keeps him busy for a while, you know, which is nice. But sometimes that's how we are with our prayer. See, a helium balloon, if it has helium in it, and I let it go, it will just float all the way up. In fact, that happened with Jude. He said, "My balloon." And it was like in the trees over by my mom's house, because you let that thing go and it's going to go. It'll go up to the heavens. Sometimes we, with our prayers, are like Jude with a balloon. Like we're just hitting it back. We don't actually expect it to do anything. And we're just trying so hard, but we're just hitting this balloon to try to keep it up off the ground. What we need to do is we need to see that that thing with faith, it's like a balloon with helium. With faith, we release that balloon and we trust you, God Almighty. You are hearing my prayers because you said that you would. And you are working in this situation because you are faithful and because you hear me. And as we do that, that faith allows us to believe that God is going to do something about what we're asking him. So I just want to challenge you. We were created to walk in relationship with God, to allow his word to define our lives, our identity, and our circumstances. So we don't have to just, when a crisis happens, go, yep, obviously, you know, it's just like I thought. God's not going to do anything good for me. I thought it was good, but I'm just going to have to deal with all this, you know, situation. We don't have to accept it like that. We can say to God, God, your word says, and we can look into the word of God, and we can speak what the word of God says to our circumstances and see our thinking change. And as our thinking changes and our words change, the effects and the fruit of our words changes. And the fruit that we're eating is good fruit instead of bad fruit. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Relationship with him is what brings salvation, which means deliverance and health and wholeness. It is a full circle relationship that we have with him. And so I just want to invite you, as this song plays, if you are not in right relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have not surrendered your life to lordship and allowing him to direct your everyday decisions and the way that you live, then he already made the way on the cross. He is the way. We come to him, not based on our good deeds, but based on who he is. If you need prayer, if you realize you are at a place and when Jesus said to him, "Only believe," he said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Sometimes we need to partner with somebody. We need somebody to say, "Hey, let's pray together." We're here if you need prayer. But if you just between you and God, you need to get alone with God. We can do that even in church. We can get alone with God and say, "God, I need you to help me to say it as well." So wherever you are, we invite you to come if you need prayer today.